So, Tony, beginning Saturday, a new enrollment period for people in Florida who still don't have health insurance. This runs through mid-February. What's going to be happening?
Well, the open enrollment period, as you said, opens again November 15th and runs through February 15th. So this Saturday, we'll be having a large enrollment event with one of our newest partners, and that's the Regency Square Mall. We'll be hosting major enrollment events in November, December, January, and February at the Regency Square Mall. They've been very, very generous in providing us 10,000 square feet of space. We'll be doing this with all of our partners, including the Health Planning Council and Salzbacher and Epilepsy Foundation and Agape.
Now, the first time around, quite a few Floridians enrolled. Quite a few at the same time had trouble accessing the website healthcare.gov. What do you expect to happen this time? And what are your targets for enrollment around the state?
Well, let's talk about when you and I spoke last time, we had estimated maybe 500,000 people enrolling. Actually, it turned out that our estimate was very low because 983,000 people enrolled in the state of Florida and 8.1 million nationwide. We did that over a six-month period. This open enrollment period is only a three-month period. So we're going to have to really hustle, and we're going to have to get as many people as possible informed and educated. And our targets really haven't been defined as yet. We do know that we want to beat where we were during the first open enrollment period.
You want to recruit or enroll, I should say, about 1 million Floridians, correct, in this three-month window?
We do.
That's a high bar.
It is. It's a very high bar. But we're finding out that a lot of people now are informed and educated. A lot of people want to enroll. And the good news, especially throughout the state of Florida and in Duval County, is we now have 1 million ambassadors out there. People who have enrolled. And I'll tell you a story. I was standing online at Publix recently wearing an Enroll America t-shirt. The woman in front of me turned to me and said, "I've gotten insurance and I love it." The woman behind me began to engage us both in a conversation. She indicated that she hadn't gotten insurance and she had made a mistake. So what we're seeing now is people who do have insurance going out there, talking to their families, their friends, their fellow congregants, and telling them that they've gotten insurance, what a great deal it is, and you should go out and get insurance.
And if you're just joining the program, a new enrollment period gets underway Saturday for the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. What are your questions? What are your comments? We'll go to your calls in just a moment. The number, 549-2937. Now, as this is going on, Tony, just as you and your colleagues with Enroll America begin this effort, the Supreme Court announced last week it's going to hear a very serious challenge to the Affordable Care Act, a lawsuit that would target the federal subsidies that help low-income Americans access this insurance coverage. This could, if not gut the law, significantly damage the law if the court rules in favor of the plaintiffs. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, at this point, we really don't know how the Supreme Court is going to rule. So we have two choices, really. The first choice is to wait for the Supreme Court to rule. The second choice is to do what we're doing and continue doing what we're doing, and that is educating people, getting people enrolled, and getting them enrolled as quickly as possible. Again, we can't really predict what the Supreme Court is going to do, but what we can do is just keep getting people enrolled.
And if more and more people are enrolled and have coverage, let's talk about the politics and the outcomes, the logistics of, say, the high court reverses itself and decides, no, you know, we're going to rule in favor of this this argument that these subsidies are not constitutional. They would essentially reverse themselves. Where would that leave those who have enrolled?
Don't know. Very good question. So we have millions of people out there who have enrolled for insurance. Millions more will be enrolling during this open enrollment period. So how do we tell those millions of people that they no longer have insurance or that they don't no longer get a subsidy? I don't know if that could even conceivably happen.
We have lots of calls, meanwhile, as we discuss the new enrollment period kicking off Saturday for the Affordable Care Act. Florida does not have its own state-run health exchange, so the uninsured in Florida will be encouraged to go to the website healthcare.gov. We want your calls right now, 549-2937. Let's go to Mike in Jack's Beach. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hey, currently right now I'm paying about $5.95. I'm under just a Florida Blue Cross plan for a family of four. I called in the other day to see if they could estimate my costs next year. I guess that's the estimated time when the ACA Act will kick in. And they said as it stands now, the same coverage, it will be about $1,200. I know I do not apply or meet any requirements for subsidies. Is there any thoughts on why that's so expensive and why
Thanks so much.
At this point, I told him I was just going to go to the ER from going forward. But
yeah, thanks, Mike. That's Mike in Jack's Beach. Mike in Jack's Beach. So, Tony, what about that? Because for every Floridian who's thrilled to get health insurance, there are those who are saying, look, under this legislation, my premiums have doubled. That there are winners and losers when it comes to the Affordable Care Act. What about a guy like Mike?
Well, Mike, what I would suggest that you do is join us on Saturday at the Regency Square Mall. Sit down with a navigator. Bring your income information with you and try to determine what's out there. Now, you indicated that you had a Florida Blue plan. There are now a number of new entrants in Duval County, including United and Assurant and Coventry and Aetna, and I believe AvMed. So I would, if I were in your place, what I would do is sit down with a navigator and try to understand all the competing plans out there and all the competing prices before I would make a decision to just re-up with your insurance company.
That's always been the selling point for this, that choice and competition would drive down the cost curve. That hasn't happened, though, yet for so many. Do you see that as a major challenge?
Well, I think if we take a look at it from a much more global perspective, what we're seeing in the state of Florida is that the average premium is $68 per month. 91% of the people who enrolled in the state of Florida now get a subsidy from the government. What we're also seeing at the national level is the cost curve for cost increases for premiums is actually bending down and bending down very, very quickly because of the Affordable Care Act.
In the aggregate, the numbers are going in the right direction.
They are.
That's not to say that individuals don't. Oh, different individuals have different experiences.
And that's why I would suggest to Mike that he just come and sit down with a navigator and explore all options.
Steve in Ponte Vedra. Hi, Steve. What are your thoughts? Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. My question is, what does open enrollment actually mean? So, for example, would I be able to just enroll today if I don't need a subsidy and just get my insurance, or do I need to wait until the open enrollment period starts Saturday?
Thanks, Steve.
Well, there are a couple of reasons, Steve, or a couple of ways that you could enroll today. As an example, if you've lost your job or you've had a divorce or you've had a new child, you could enroll today under a special enrollment period. Open enrollment begins November 15th and closes February 15th. And that will allow you the opportunity then during that period to enroll for insurance.
549-2937, Hassan on the South Side. Hi, Hassan. Good morning. Hassan, give us a call back. Ed in Orange Park. Go ahead, Ed. How are you today?
Hello, yes. Great show as always. Just a question about the subsidy, because I think the concern that some people have is that if they do not get a subsidy, of course, the premiums are going up and their choices have come down and all the whole situation we heard about keeping your doctor and keeping your plan. The question is about the subsidies. The problem I see, I think people are concerned long term, is that who is paying for the subsidy? The president said that this plan was not going to cost one dime. But obviously the subsidy has to be paid, by somebody, correct?
Yeah, let's talk about that because thank you for the call, Ed, because the Supreme Court challenge deals with the subsidy issue for low to moderate income Americans. Tony, let's talk about that aspect of this.
Well, the subsidy is provided by the government for those individuals who don't meet income criteria. When we take a look at this ACA in aggregate, what we see is that there are a lot of insurance companies who have enrolled a very large number of people who are now paying higher corporate taxes on profits. Those profits are going to be used to subsidize the subsidy, if I can say that. Also, there are savings associated with the Affordable Care Act, specifically as they relate to Medicare, that are also being used to subsidize the subsidies.
Here's an email from a listener. To all of a sudden suggest that the federal subsidies can't be used in states where legislators have refused the Medicaid expansion for low-income people is a weaselly argument. Now, in Florida, we were one of the states that declined the federal dollars to expand Medicaid for low-income Floridians. Doesn't that mean, Tony, that close to a million Floridians still sort of fall into a donut hole where they make a little too much to effectively get covered? They're still low income, but they are not able to access health insurance through the federal exchange.
Yeah, Florida chose not to expand Medicaid. So let's talk about what that means for a second. Under the Affordable Care Act, if you make $11,600 or above, you're eligible for insurance under the Affordable Care Act. If you make less than that, then you're eligible for insurance under Medicaid. The problem with that is that Florida chose not to expand Medicaid. So, Melissa, you're exactly right. There are about a million people who fall into that gap of not making $11,600 or above and falling into this donut hole because now they can't get Medicaid because the state of Florida chose not to expand Medicaid. Interesting fact, though.
We're getting comments on our Facebook page. Derek writes, I'll start and be the sacrificial lamb. Of course, this is a controversial topic, but we encourage everyone to weigh in. Derek writes, I got affordable insurance at the beginning of the year that I would have not been able to afford without the ACA, and it saved my life, literally. I don't like that the state refused federal funding for Medicaid. That would have closed the black hole for people who don't make enough to qualify for Obamacare. I've seen one case in which a mother of two working three jobs but still not meeting the threshold, making too much to qualify for Medicaid, died of a heart condition that could have been treated if she had access to insurance. And I've heard of a lot of well-off people complain that their rates went up. Well, in most cases, that was because the policies they had were terrible and they were actually underinsured. The ACA requires that everyone be fully insured. There are a lot of wrinkles that need to be ironed out, but my opinion is that it's a great first step. We welcome opposing views, of course, so call us up, 549-2937. Hassan on the South Side. Go ahead, Hassan.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for having me. Actually, I have two questions. The first question, I mean, I heard a lot of speculation about whether Florida signed up for this reform or not. And if they did, what's the difference if they signed up or not, if Florida signed up? And the second question is there any way to regulate prices on the medicine itself? Like the pharmacy, the medicine that we buy at the pharmacy, it's very, very expensive.
Thanks, Hassan. I mean, you've got two questions there. Thank you for the call. To answer your first question, we talked about that a moment ago. The state did not expand Medicaid to cover more low-income residents. That's a decision states have made, on their own. And then in terms of the cost of medicine, Tony, you want to discuss that?
Well, you know, we can discuss the cost of health coverage in general. And let's take a look at that. Hospitals and providers, prior to the Affordable Care Act, were required to see those individuals who didn't have insurance and those individuals who couldn't pay. Because of that, rates tended to go up. Now, because we're seeing a lot more people who are insured, rates are beginning to stabilize and, in fact, go down because the hospitals don't have to eat the cost of providing insurance or providing health coverage to people who don't have insurance.
Don on the South Side. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, that's exactly my question. Is there any way to calculate how much savings the Affordable Care Act has generated through people not going into or people that normally would have gone into the emergency rooms, and that money has to be paid for. You know, that money has to come from somewhere. So I would assume that there must be an enormous, you know, revenue stream that the Affordable Care Act has generated.
Thanks for the question.
Anecdotally, what we're seeing is hospitals saying that they're seeing less traffic in their emergency rooms and certainly less uninsured traffic in their emergency rooms. I've not seen actual calculations about that, but I would assume that the savings are pretty positive.
But in terms of hard data, that is a legitimate claim, a legitimate question for the caller to ask. Now, the president recently claimed that the Affordable Care Act has reduced health care inflation since its passage. Not surprising. And that he would tout that. And in particular, he cited a report by the Office of the Actuary at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. There are competing numbers on this, but I appreciate the question. And we welcome more of your questions. Let's go to Rufus in Arlington. Go ahead, Rufus.
Hello, how are you?
Go ahead.
I'm not sure how good a salesman this guy and his organizations are when the sign-ups start and the first question out of someone's mouth says, I just listened to a guy named Gruber on TV who was an architect of ACA saying that the savings and it was a smoking mirrors. It was a...
Hey, Rufus, we're having trouble hearing you, man. Can you give us a call back? Because it's not a good connection, okay? Give us a call back. Okay. David in Grandin. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. This is David here. And, you know, you hit a right on point that, first of all, I'm an agent, okay? And I was really against this, and it took me a long time to really get out there and start working with people. And in February... And when I did, what you're saying is perfect, because we've got those people, those mothers with one or two children that are over the threshold of Medicaid and they're under the threshold of ACA. And then we've got people on the top side that are dying because even though you mentioned, yes, their existing premiums went up, they still fall out of different categories on what kind of plans they can get. And their deductible options are completely limited, and there's a lot of gray area. But ultimately, it is better, okay, and it will get better, okay? I'm against it from the get-go, but as an agent, I know it's helping a lot of people. So my big, just as a remark more than anything else, is to the people out there that are listening, is get with an agent that can sit down and help you, because as these subsidies change and as the rate increases hit for the first of the year, around 17%, whatever they're going to be, if you don't reevaluate your subsidies and you don't stay in touch with an agent and you try to do it online with these coordinators, you're going to be constantly frustrated. Or an agent can hold your hand, get you through this each year, and let you maximize your money. So that's all I have to say. Good luck to everybody.
All right, David. Thank you for those insights. Tony, your final thoughts.
Well, I agree with David. If you got insurance during the first open enrollment period, you need to reevaluate. If you didn't get insurance, you need to get insurance as quickly as possible. The largest open enrollment event that we're going to have so far this year is November 15th at the Regency Square Mall. Come on down. It goes from 9 to 3. If you don't have insurance or if you want to reevaluate your current insurance policy, you'll be able to sit down with a navigator and you'll be able to get walked through the process and get insurance.
Tony Penna, Enroll America, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.